Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Some laws and rules need to be changed. When two toddlers died after being suffocated in the heat of the sun in Angeles, Pampanga, after they entered an unlocked car parked in the street where they were playing unattended by an adult, some people were quick to blame the car owner and not just the negligent parents. The argument is strange, with some alluding to the owner's failure to lock his own car, which, in the chain of events, was an indirect cause of the eventual demise of the toddlers. Reckless imprudence resulting in homicide, as they would say. Fortunately, more rational minds prevailed. But the mere fact that some people thought of the owner's culpability as a legal possibility is the one that should disturb us. This is in the same category as that urban legend of a woman who sued a supermarket when a child who was running around bumped into her and caused her to fall, accusing the supermarket of negligence for failing to restrain the child. The only thing is the child was hers. There was also one about a thief who was locked in a garage for the weekend and sued the homeowner for installing a security device that was programmed to prevent intruders from getting out. The thief asked for psychological damages for the stress he had to endure. Reason is not always, however, on the side of the legal system. We just saw on the news that a motorcycle rider who accidentally bumped and killed a fleeing thief is being pursued by the police and held for possible filing of a case of homicide. We also heard of that car driver who hit and killed a motorcycle rider who illegally entered a counterflow and who had to endure being detained and subjected to a criminal inquiry. While the justice system was just following procedures, and there is no doubt that the innocence of said drivers would be ascertained in due time, the trauma of accidentally killing people who were obviously the ones who violated the law, with the drivers having no fault, is compounded by going through a system that is reserved only for those who violated the law. The principle, of course, is that every driver should be held responsible when his or her vehicle figures in an accident or, worse, ends up killing someone. This is perhaps the same logic that can be used to theoretically sue the owner who parked his unlocked car. Responsibility is the key to being given the privilege to own a car and a license to drive. The presumption is always that any accident is evidence of reckless imprudence, even if the words reckless and imprudence would suggest that negligence is manifest and not presumed. What should be presumed is innocence, under our laws, more so in situations that are clearly an up or down case of one party being obviously on the wrong side of the law, such as that fleeing thief or that rider illegally going against the traffic counterflow. In situations like these, and in the face of the fact that the presumption of innocence juxtaposes with an illegal act committed facially by the victim, those arrests should be waived, and the driver of the vehicle that accidentally killed a person should first be treated and debriefed by mental health professionals and should only be invited for clarificatory questions not in a police precinct but in their place of residence. Being counseled is the first response, considering not only the trauma of knowing that someone was killed but also the horror of a near-death experience. One should be reminded that without the context of an unavoidable accident, reckless imprudence that is mechanically applied just because someone died can easily lead to drivers making dangerous maneuvers on the road just to avoid hitting someone who is the one who is recklessly imprudent. This can, in turn, threaten their own lives or the lives of their passengers. We should all bear in mind that ordinary drivers are not trained to do stunts or conduct evasive maneuvers like seasoned drivers. Beyond these road-related issues covered by standing laws and procedures that would now require a revisit and a possible amendment, there are other practices that seem not to submit themselves to common sense or even to simple compassion. Civil and family relations would be a fertile ground for many of these problematic situations. One situation that comes to mind is that of a cohabiting couple, one or both of whom are still legally married to other persons and with spouses who have already been absent in their lives, with them now in newfound relationships. It is a given fact that we have not legalized divorce and that obtaining an annulment is expensive and grounded on an admission that the marriage was fraudulent or invalid, and a mere legal separation would not extinguish the marriage. Because of this, important legal decisions will remain lodged with the legal spouse. Should one partner undergo a medical procedure that would require the consent of the legal spouse, the current partner will be denied the right to make decisions, including when the afflicted is already unable to render lucid and informed decisions. A similar situation arises in same-sex relationships. The issue of legalizing divorce and same-sex marriages is controversial, and it will take a while before laws can be passed on the matter. However, we do not have to legalize divorce or same-sex marriage to provide some compassion to these kinds of non-traditional relationships that are being marginalized. Legal spaces should be open to remedy their exclusion in making important decisions about people they have a loving relationship with, but for which no legal marriage certificates have been issued, unfortunately. It is much welcome that on this issue, a party list, Pamelia Co-Foundation, has been accredited by Cumlec for the midterm elections to run on this platform, among others that pertain to the rights and welfare of non-traditional families. If they are successful, they can become a voice of change in Congress.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.